Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing. Our first reading comes from the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 14. This is the institution in the story of Moses and Exodus, the institution of Passover. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month will be the first month. It will be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole Israelite community, on the 10th day of this month, they must take a lamb for each household, a lamb per house. If a household is too small for a lamb, it should share one with a neighbor nearby. You should divide the lamb in proportion to the number of people who will be eating it. Your lamb should be a flawless year-old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You should keep close watch over it until the 14th day of this month. At twilight on that day, the whole assembled Israelite community should slaughter their lambs. They should take some of the blood and smear it on the two doorposts and on the beam over the door of the houses in which they are eating. That same night, they should eat the meat roasted over the fire. They should eat it along with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Don't eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over fire with its head, legs, and internal organs. Don't let any of it remain until morning, and burn any of it left over in the morning. This is how you should eat it. You should be dressed, with your sandals on your feet and your walking stick in your hand. You should eat the meal in a hurry. It's the Passover of the Lord. I'll pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I'll strike down every oldest child in the land of Egypt, both humans and animals. I'll impose judgments on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be your sign on the houses where you live. Whenever I see the blood, I'll pass over you. No plague will destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day will be a day of remembering for you. You will observe it as a festival to the Lord. You will observe it in every generation as a regulation for all time."
I share with you now our gospel reading verses from the 13th chapter of John's Gospel. Before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his time had come to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them fully. Jesus and his disciples were sharing the evening meal. The devil had already provoked Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew the Father had given everything into his hands and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the table and took off his robes. Picking up a linen towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he was wearing. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand what I'm doing now, but you will understand later." "No," Peter said, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't have a place with me." Simon Peter said, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus responded, "Those who have bathed need only to have their feet washed because they are completely clean. You disciples are clean, but not every one of you." He knew who would betray him. That's why he said, "Not every one of you is clean." After he washed the disciples' feet, he put on his robes and returned to his place at the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you speak correctly because I am. If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you too must wash each other's feet. I have given you an example. Just as I have done, you also must do. I assure you, servants aren't greater than their master, nor are those who are sent greater than the one who sent them. Since you know these things, you'll be happy if you do them." Jesus said, "Now the human one has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify the human one in himself and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I'm with you for a little while longer. You will look for me, but just as I told the Jewish leaders, I also tell you now, where I'm going, you can't come. I give you a new commandment: love each other. Just as I have loved you, so you also must love each other. This is how everyone will know that you are my disciples, when you love each other." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The tradition of Maundy Thursday, based on that word, Maundy, is really rooted in the Gospel of John, from which Pastor Lori just read. If you're not familiar, the word Maundy, it comes from the Latin root that is the same as the word for mandate, or for command, commandment. It's a particular celebration that is entirely and exclusively, in my opinion, about the commandment to love. But I would say that it's inextricably tied to John's story about washing feet, because it is so clearly connected and so clearly gross. I mean, how many of us really want to wash someone's feet? How many of us often like washing our own feet? The Gospel of John has the deepest, lengthiest description of the evening meal. That's how it's said in the Common English Bible, the evening meal. If it were more clear, wouldn't we have some agreement about those who call it dinner or those who call it supper? That's the argument I have with my Midwest friends who all call it supper. I don't. It has this great sense of description and teaching. And the very first thing that happens at that evening meal as Jesus gathers with his disciples is foot washing. And a commandment. Foot washing. And a commandment. It is after this that Jesus says he'll be betrayed. It's after this that Jesus says he'll be denied. It's after this that Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." It is after this that Jesus says, "I am the true vine." It is after this that Jesus says, "I still have many things to say, that I'll see you again, that I've conquered the world," that he prays, and then he leaves to go to the garden. But first he washes their feet. In antiquity, when people gathered together for a meal, particularly at a wealthy person's home, it is the servant's job to wash the feet of all who gather. Can you imagine what that looked like for those whose primary mode of transportation is their feet? Their feet wrapped in sandals, open to the elements. Can you imagine which of the servants gets that job? Imagine, for a moment, one that you hold as holy, going on to their knees, Imagine now taking off your shoes in this holy place. And the Christ, who I believe is present with us, washing your feet. Now, some of us might say, I don't know if I could do that. Maybe your feet are ticklish. Or maybe you're more like me and you just don't feel worthy. You shouldn't wash my feet. Many of you, whether you're from the La Jolla congregation or the Pacific Beach congregation, you've heard me say that I identify with the disciple Peter. I think he's an extrovert. He doesn't know what he thinks until after he says it. He says, no, don't wash my feet. I imagine that I would say that too. Jesus says, don't you know? Don't you know what this means? I don't really know what it means, but I trust you, so wash all of me. This is the worst part. This is the grossest part. This is the part that the servants do, the lowliest of the servants do. And so that's why I'll do it. Don't you know? I have to. I would suggest, though, that we should consider who else's feet might be washed. We should also, as remember that commandment to love, put ourselves in that place of being the foot washers. Sure, we might think about, maybe a child or a grandchild and washing their feet, maybe that'd be okay. Maybe a loved one, a family member, and maybe that'd be okay. What about that person who sits on the other side of the church who maybe you don't know very well? Would you wash their feet? What about that person maybe in traffic who cuts you off? Would you wash their feet? What about that person you see at the intersection holding the sign? Would you wash that person's feet? Let's put some visuals to it. I saw a post online just today. There are several of these images. Would you wash the prisoner's feet? Maybe for one kind of a crime, but maybe not for another crime. Would you wash the prisoner's feet? Would you wash Mr. Trump's feet? Would you wash Mr. Biden's feet? Do any of these bring you pause? Let's move to the next one. Would you wash the Ukrainians' feet or the Russians' feet? What about the next one? Would you wash the nurse's feet? Knowing what they step in and through every day, would you wash her feet? Let's go to the next one. Would you wash the man who skateboards, maybe holding a sign that says Black Lives Matter? Would you wash his feet? Let's look at the next one. Would you wash the child's feet who doesn't want to stay still? The child who speaks out in worship even when it's your favorite hymn, would you wash that child's feet? Let's go to the next one. Would you wash the policeman's feet? And how about the next one? Would you wash the Pope's feet? Whether or not he had those special red shoes. Let's go to the next one. Would you hold the one who is just so filled with grief that they can't even handle their feet being washed? How about the next one? Would you wash the gay or lesbian or transgendered person's feet? Or the next one? Would you wash the foot of the person who's so drunk they can't even stand or stay in a stool? The one who wrestles so much with addiction, they can't even open their eyes to see what you're doing. How about the next one? Would you wash the feet of the one who's so distracted that they're just not sure? It's interesting, there are 13 images in that. Let's go to the next slide, because I just want to show you that these were shared earlier today by someone named Ashley Ann Sipe. I don't know her. It turns out we have some mutual friends, which is a surprise to me. But these feature images of the foot washing series. The prints are available from a New Zealand store called Salt and Gold. You can find it at saltandgoldstore.com if you're interested in those, because they are powerful images. And I would suggest that the one of those images that I identify with the most is the one at the end, the one who's so distracted by all the things, by the speed at which the world goes by. But don't you know? Don't you know that Christ calls us to be a servant? Don't you know that Christ gives us the example of what it looks like to serve, even in the most humbling of circumstances? Don't you know that Christ gives a new commandment to love each other no matter what it looks like, no matter who it is, no matter the ways that we divide ourselves? Don't you know that our call is to give ourselves to each other completely and fully? To humble ourselves and to serve. Don't you know? Don't you know that all we need is love? May God give us strength to kneel, to serve in love.